Good evening. It's a privilege to be here tonight and just be able to come with you guys and pray together, and just it's a sweet time. I know my schedule doesn't allow me to be here as much as I like, but I always am thankful for the way I don't feel like I've been gone at all. You guys are so welcoming, and I just love that. So thank you for that. Tonight, I want to talk about a spiritual assessment. Something that I've learned at my job, something they kind of drill into us all the time, and I think Jonathan would agree, is they say assess and reassess. And what that is in EMS, there's so many different things. Obviously, the human, I mean, you see the specialist that doctors are. Nobody can know the whole human body, and they recognize that in the field. We can't figure it all out. So they teach us to the point where it's muscle memory to just drop back and reassess the important things. What do you know? And that's how we do it. There's so many things we can't do in the field, but that's how they teach us to operate. Drop back and reassess the important things. Is the patient breathing? That's good. Is they have an airway that's open? Is the heart pumping? Those are the things that matter. So tonight, I want to do a spiritual reassessment. I hope it's an encouragement. I want to talk about things that if I know nothing about you, if I know absolutely nothing about your life except that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, these things are true of you. Whether you've been born again for a week or you've been serving in the ministry for 30 years, doesn't matter. These things are unequivocally true, and it's in Scripture, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. So the first one, first assessment, reassessment. You are righteous to God. When he sees you, you are spotless and blameless and righteous. And I think sometimes we hear that so often, not that that's a bad thing, but it can almost, we become desensitized to it. And I want you guys to just literally just close your eyes for a second and think about that. That when God looks at you, he sees a blameless, faultless saint. To be able to say that is an absolute miracle. And what had to happen for us to be able to say that should just humble us to a crazy amount. In Romans 3:21-22, Paul writes, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21, he writes, "For he made him," and that's Christ, "who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And I looked up that word righteousness because I think we use it sometimes so much. Sometimes do we really know what it means? And from what I looked up, the word New Testament comes from the Greek word, and I'm probably going to torture this, dikaios, which means upright, faultless, innocent and guiltless. And I remember Nate Bramson speaking one time on this, and he said, imagine a court case where you've been charged with something. Well, righteousness means you've not only are you not guilty, you've never been charged with anything. And that just blows me away, because I think the problem for me, and I think some people would agree, is that it's hard for me to receive that. It's hard for me to understand that I'm righteous in the sight of God, because I look at my life right now and I'm like, I'm not righteous at all. But it's in the Word, and it's true, and it's an absolute fact that not for anything you've done on your own, but because of what Christ did for you. When the Lord sees us, we are spotless and blameless in his eyes. The sin question has been forever answered. And that's liberating to know that has been dealt with. There is no more shame or punishment or guilt for us. Yes, there's conviction. Yes, there's correction. But that's done out of love, and that's done as a father to a child, not as a judge to a criminal. And, I mean, that is just liberating, because I think sometimes we bring shame and guilt on ourselves because we see our lives, but that's not us. God says that's been dealt with, that's been put away, and that's a wonderful thought. So, like I said, that can be really difficult to take in, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But like I said, God declares it to be true, so it doesn't matter how we feel. If we don't feel righteous, that's all right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect it at all. And I wrote down a note here. It says, Jesus died to make a sinner righteous. So remember the righteous thing, because as I was doing this, I was realizing every other thought brought me back to the righteousness, because everything else is based on my standing with the Lord, based on what Christ has done. All right, so second reassessment. First one was, you are righteous. The second one, you are a child of God. Okay, that, again, one of these things we say so often, we just kind of like, yeah, I'm a child of God, all right. But think about that for a second. This isn't some metaphorical, oh, you're a child of Mother Nature. It's not that at all. You are literally adopted into the family of God. You are a child of the creator of the universe, the one who spoke the stars into existence, who created your very body and the miraculous intricacies of it. You're his child. You are a prince or a princess of royalty now. And I mean, that's just amazing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, one of my favorite verses, and I know many of you know this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. John here, and the writer, he was so excited, he actually interrupted himself with this thought in a letter. Who interrupts himself in a letter? But he was so blown away by that, that he just had to exclaim it, and I thought that was awesome. He is our Abba Father, our daddy. I mean, that's literally what that means. He is our daddy. We can come before him with no fear of rejection or denial. I truly believe the Lord has given us earthly relationships as parents and children and brothers and sisters and all these different relationships, so we can see, we have just a glimpse of what he feels toward us and how our relationship is with him. And that, I mean, those of you who have had a father that has just, you know, have just shown that love to you, it's infinitely that much more with the Lord. That's how much he feels. That's how much he feels towards you. There's now a relationship of tenderness and gentleness as he instructs us. Like an earthly father, he is patient and kind, but like I said, on an infinitely greater scale. I thought about, as I was thinking about this relationship and thinking about my walk and how I'm constantly falling down, constantly dropping the ball, but the Lord, like just like a father who's teaching a child to ride a bike, or a child who's learning to walk, that the child's going to fall, he's going to stumble. That's just the nature of it. But that father doesn't get upset. He doesn't get angry at the child for not riding the bike right the first time. He picks him up and dusts him off and instructs him, shows him where he did wrong, shows him what he did right, and gets back on. And I just think about how that's what the Lord does for us all the time. That's the relationship we have with the God of the universe. I mean, and again, think about what had to happen for us to say that. We were outside the family. We were sinners. We had no right, no claim to him at all. And yet what Christ did was to accomplish, it allowed us to become his children. And again, I wrote another note. Christ died to make orphans, sons and daughters of God. All right, so that's two. We're doing good on time here. All right, number three. You are a friend of Jesus. In John 15:15, Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So not only is Jesus Christ our King, our Captain, he's our friend. And that just blows me away. He wants to have a relationship with you and me. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to be a part of our life. And as much as we'll let him, I wrote this down. We have nothing to offer him except ourselves, but thankfully that's exactly what he wants. A real quick story. I've got a couple friends. A lot of you know Andrew, obviously, but Andrew's one of those guys who can do anything. You know, he can fix it. If it's broken, he can fix it. If something's wrong with it, he'll tell you what's wrong with it. And hanging out with him was always, I mean, I loved hanging out with him, but he was always like, if I had a problem at the house, he's the first one to call, like, Andrew, this is going on. Oh, yeah, we'll come down and fix it, no problem. And I always felt bad a little bit, because I was like, I don't have anything to offer him. No one really calls me for medical advice. Hey, man, how do I call an ambulance? Well, you pretty much know that one. But, and I always felt like, what do I have to offer my brother? And then, and it took me a few years and just learning to grow into it was that nothing. You're his friend, and he loves you for that. And again, I think that just shows the picture of our Savior, that he wants to just be, he just wants you. Yeah, he's my friend, but as I grow and walk with him, I'm his friend. And we see the heart of our Savior when, on the night before he died, he told his disciples, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. He just wanted to be with them. All right. That was number three. So number four, the final one here. And this is where it kind of gets a little more practical, a little more real. Number four, you are a work in progress. And this is one of my favorite verses here lately because it's really encouraged me. It's Philippians 1:6. Again, these aren't the very verses that you guys don't know. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I just love that verse because one thing I've learned in my walk as I've started to grow and the Lord's shown me a lot of things is that I don't measure up any of that stuff. I don't look righteous. I don't look like a child of God. I don't act like a friend of Christ sometimes. And what I'm seeing is that that's the practical part of my life, and the other things are the positional part of my life. And very eventually, those two will become identical. And I said that this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where practicality becomes reality. And this is where we remember these things that are positional to help us walk practical. We don't try to live a righteous life to become righteous. We can live a holy right life because we are righteous. So, again, another story of Andrew. Andrew, I was roommates with him. And he was like, he bought a house. He said, Deloy, I bought a house. Come check it out. I want you to be my roommate. I was like, oh, yeah, well, come check it out. I walk in there, and this place looked like a construction zone. I mean, there were rats running around. It was like paint falling off the walls. There was a hole in the ceiling. And all he had was a big smile on his face. He said, isn't it beautiful? I said, I'm not living here, dude. Not at all. But what Andrew has, and my wife has it too, and I'm jealous, because they have a vision. They can see something. And they see it. They see the end result before it's there. And I don't have that. And I don't think a lot of us have it spiritually. Because we look at ourselves, at least for me, and I get defeated. I get this frustrated. I'm like, Lord, that's not who I am. But he says, I'm going to complete it. I'm going to finish it. And we just have to trust the Lord that he has that vision. That he obviously he does. But he says, I'm going to complete it in the day of redemption. So that's our reassessment. That's what I wanted to share with you guys tonight. I hope it was an encouragement. I hope it was a help. I think sometimes we just needed nothing new. I mean, the teaching here at Shannon Hills is wonderful. And I mean, I'm just so thankful for it. But sometimes I think we just need to be reminded of these things, that the world will distract us. You know, in EMS, they teach us you have to watch out for distracting injuries, things like really bad broken legs or really bad cuts or even amputations. They said these are distracting injuries and you'll lose focus on the things that are going to kill a patient because those things look bad, but they're not going to kill them. It's those things that we miss, those things that we lose focus on, the things that we don't reassess is when bad things happen. And I think that's why the Lord's like, come back to this constantly. Come back to this is who you are. The world will distract you. The enemy will try to lie to you. He'll tell you you're not these things. But the word says we are. So I hope it was an encouragement. I hope it was a help. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just want to tell you I love you tonight. I hope I brought you glory and honor. I hope it was encouragement to the body, Lord. I love each one here and I thank you for their love toward me and my family. I thank you for the help they've been to me and just the way they pour into me, Father. So I pray you bless each one here tonight. I pray for all the different prayer requests that are mentioned and the ones that haven't, Lord, that you know exactly what's going on in our lives. I thank you that you're a father that cares. I thank you that you're a father that loves your children. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us as we walk to be more how you see us every day. Continue to change us and shape us and mold us into the image of your Son. And I just thank you that we have the promise that you are doing that. So give each one here a good night. Let them rest their head tonight knowing who they are in you, and give them peace about that, that it has nothing to do with what we can do or what we have to offer, but all of what your Son has done for us. So, Lord, we love your Son. We thank you for him. I pray that you would continue to draw us closer to him and give us a heart like him, Lord. So, Lord, thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. And we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.